Ramsey TV.
When the Philippian jailer says, "Sirs, what must I be doing that I may be being saved?" Paul doesn't say, "Well, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be enjoying the allotments in the kingdom of God. You shall be ruling and reigning with Christ. And you will be in charge of Sector 62, probably, sir, Philippian jailer. And after that, why, we'll reassess your case." No, of course not. What must I be doing to be being saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be being saved. Whenever Paul is introducing Christ to people, when he's introducing the gospel of transcendent grace to people, he's not talking about this allotment. He's not talking about the allotment in the kingdom of God. When Paul says, "I become all things to all people that I may be saving some," he doesn't say, "I become all things to all people that I should be presenting them as chiefs of various sectors among the universe where they shall administer the kingdom through Christ." No, it's just salvation. 1 Corinthians 15, 22-23, "As in Adam all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified." This is the entire lot of humanity. Think of how many people are saved. We've just been concentrating on the body of Christ. Think of how many people are not in the body of Christ. They're saved. I mean, we've been so focused on the body of Christ that we forget that everybody's getting in, not into the body of Christ. Some people think that everybody's going to end up in the body of Christ. Nonsense. That is not true. There's only so many people in the body of Christ. And once that number is filled up from God calling them out from among the nations, that's it. There's no more members of the body of Christ. Even when God becomes all in all, there's only one Christ and there's only one body of Christ. To say that everybody becomes members of the body of Christ, you have to be putting out a theory, an opinion, because it's just not scriptural. I've been dealing with lots of theories on this subject, and I've decided that I'm done with theories. I'm just going to stick with the scripture. So we found out in Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 through 25, that there's the compensation of the enjoyments of an allotment. We found out that a compensation is something that's awarded someone as a recompense for loss, injury, or suffering. What else does that remind you of? Well, it reminds me of the dais of Christ. So let me go to 2nd. Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. 2 Corinthians 5, 9. "Wherefore we are ambitious also, whether at home or away from home, to be well-pleasing to him." Why is this guy who's saved by grace worried about being well-pleasing to God? And how dare he mention it? What if we don't want to be well-pleasing to God? Then don't be well-pleasing to God. Do your thing. You know, as long as you're not, I would always add to that, just try not to sin. I mean, try not to sin grievously, you know. Well pleasing to God. I always used to overlook these verses. It's like, yeah, what if I don't want to be well pleasing to God? What if I'm not well pleasing to God? What then? Well, where sin increases, grace super exceeds, Romans 5:20. So that's what then. Let's go on there. You'll see, you'll get more clarity. "For all of us," this is the scary part. I didn't write this. This is part of being in the body of Christ. "For all of us must be manifested in front of the dais of Christ." A dais is a raised platform. This is not the Great White Throne. The Great White Throne is for the rest of humanity. These are people who are not in the body of Christ. They're not part of the Israel Ecclesia. Probably part of the silversmiths of Philippi, that ecclesia, the idolaters who were making metal images of Diana of the Ephesians, they'll probably be there at the Great White Throne. They're to be judged there. But this is not a judgment. The King James translates this bema, that's the Greek word here, as judgment seat, as a unfortunate translation because this has nothing to do with judgment. I'm going to show you what it does have to do with here. For all of us must be manifested in front of the dais of Christ, that each should be requited. Specific word here. This is not judgment. Judgment is carino. This is comico. No, it's comizo. Sorry, I thought that was a C. Couldn't read my own writing there. It's comizo. The English element is to fetch. Yeah, like when you throw a bone and tell your dog to go get it. Hey, Fido, comizo, comizo, comizo. Teach your pooch Greek. Fetch. Why fetch? Well, you'll see. It's a little obscure. The English element, it's not the meaning of the word, but it is the root element of the word that will suggest the meaning. Something is got. Something is coming. Something is got for you. God is fetching something. He's going to get something. And he's going to, again, compensate you. At the dais of Christ. This is where the compensation happens. You're already in the body of Christ. You've already been snatched away. You already won the lottery. And now you're going to be recompensed. You might say, isn't that recompense enough? Just to be in the body of Christ and to be made immortal and to defy gravity? And to be with Christ and God while all the other human beings are on earth going through the tribulation? You would think, but no. God's going to hand out awards, wreaths, trophies, participation trophies, perhaps, also ran. Why are we manifested here? That each should be requited for that which he puts into practice through the body, whether good or bad. Well, I guess this does away with the theory that members of the body of Christ can't lose anything or can't gain anything extra other than being members of the body of Christ. I'm going to come back here, but I want to go to 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 through 15, because this is a parallel passage concerning the dais of Christ. 1 Corinthians 3, and you don't need to fear this, 10 through 15. According to the grace of God, which has been granted to me as a wise foreman, I lay a foundation. Paul speaking. Yet another is building on it. Yet let each one beware how he is building on it. Mr. Nock says in his commentary here that Paul's talking about teachers. It could be. I'm not convinced of that. Because Paul is talking about, in this context, he's talking about, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants are they through whom you believe? I plant, Apollos irrigates. So he's talking about teachers, seems to be in this context. And according to the grace of God, back to verse 10, which has been granted to me as a wise foreman, I lay a foundation, another is building on it. Yet let each one beware. Beware how he is building on. Strange word to find in the gospel of grace, but here it is. We have to deal with it. For other foundation can no one lay besides that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone is building on this foundation, gold and silver, precious stones, or wood, grass, straw, each one's work will become apparent, for the day will make it evident. For it is being revealed by fire. And the fire, it will be testing each one's work, what kind it is. If anyone's work will be remaining, which he builds on it, he will get wages. This is what Paul's racing for. This is what he's striving for. This is the goal he's stretching ahead toward in Philippians chapter 3. If anyone's work shall be burned up, he will go to hell for eternity. Now, if anyone's work shall be burned up, he will forfeit it. That's it. Forfeit it. yet he shall be saved, yet as through fire. As through fire. I don't believe this fire is literal. This is just the searching of God. Yeah, literal, if possible, that's true. But how can fire test a person's work? How can fire test what you do, test an action? You can't take an action and cast it in a campfire. So this is certainly figurative. But fire tests things, right? If you put gold in the furnace, if there's any dross attached to it, it's going to come off. If there's any other things besides gold, it's going to come off. And that's what the forfeit is. It will be forfeited. So the requital, a big part of it, is receiving wages. And again, obviously this is above and beyond salvation because the people here are already saved. So this is wages above salvation. And apparently, if one does crappy work, maybe being an idolater is crappy work. Maybe being an extortioner is crappy work. If this is not strictly talking about teachers and their teaching, then that work is going to be burned up and you'll be glad to see it go. It's not literal fire. It's just going to be forfeited. It's going to go bye-bye. It's going to be removed. It's like getting a bunion taken off your foot getting an elephant off your back or a monkey. You have a monkey on your back? Is there a monkey on your back? Huh? It's going to go. The monkey's going to go. And then you'll be, oh, God, thank God that monkey's finally off my back. Maybe something heavier's on your back, like an elephant. Well, that's going to be gone too. Whatever burdens you have, whatever thing vexes you, whatever habits you have, whatever addictions you might have, sorry, God says, you're going to have to forfeit this addiction to heroin. Aw, oh, gee. Good. Off it goes. It's forfeited. That's it. You'll be damn glad of it. But, appreciate what's happening here. God is still dealing with bad behavior, right? Still dealing with it. Some people think our bad behavior doesn't matter. Well, it does matter. Not for salvation, but for wages. Who wants wages? Me. Am I going to get every bauble, bangle, and bead and trophy they're handing out? No. But I want some of them. I want whatever I can get. And I'm going to live my life as best as I can without losing my peace to run a worthy race. Am I going to succeed in every aspect? No. Am I going to try purposely to screw everything up? No. Am I beset by mortality, which causes me to do things that I don't want to do? Yeah. Even Paul was beset by mortality that caused him to do things he didn't want to do. Romans chapter 7. Paul's going to stand up there and there's some things on him that are going to go poof. And after the monkey gets off Paul's back, whatever it was, stand back because that guy's going to get freighted with hardware. Oh, that guy's going to get trophies, medals, diamond rings that'll make Super Bowl rings look like Cracker Jack toys. Oh, yeah. But you're going to get your wages also. You've suffered in ways you haven't even counted. You've done things for the evangel you haven't even counted. You haven't even considered. It's like the Three Stooges. Someone comes up to the Three Stooges and says, gentlemen, they turn around. What? Who are you talking to? God's going to call you up to the dais and say, bring the trophy for the most outstanding, generous person in the body of Christ. And you're going to be standing there and you go, who? What? Me? Who? Wait, me? Me? To the most hospitable member of the body of Christ at the end of Beyond 3. To the person who sacrificed themselves to take care of their mother or their daughter or their son. who raised a family, made mistakes. But see, you can't lose here in a way. I mean, you are losing. Paul says they'll suffer loss. Does he say that? Let me see. Each one's work will become apparent, for the day will make it evident, for it is being revealed by fire, and the fire will be testing each one's work, what kind it is. But I'm going to walk head first into that thing. Let's go. Bring it. What happens next? Oh, yeah. If anyone's work will be remaining, which he builds on it, he'll get wages. If anyone's work shall be burned up, he'll forfeit it. Yet he shall be saved, yet as through fire. It won't be fire. That is another word, as, that makes me know that the fire is not literal, besides the fact that you can't burn up works. I want to go back and make another point in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. Because this is the same place. All of us must be manifested in front of the dais of Christ, that each one should be requited. Fetch the awards for that which he puts into practice. You see, this is putting into practice. This is anything that you do through the body, whether good or bad. So again, this is nothing to fear, because you're going to be immortal at the time. You're going to be part of the body of Christ. God already crucified Christ, okay? That's done. He's not going to do that again. You're not going to go up there and get crucified. See, it's all downhill. It's all fun. It's all fun and games now. It's all fun and games. For Christ, it's all fun and games. After he rose from the dead, it was all fun and games. After that, the hard part was over. Do you know how relieved he was? He had to go through that for us. What do we go through at the dais? It's not crucifixion. It's not even going to hurt. I asked James Corum one time, probably 30 years ago. I said, about this dais, James, is it going to hurt? I actually asked James Corum that. Is it going to hurt? James Corum said, well, no, of course not. No, you'll be relieved. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be a relief for people. Think of all the other places now. I'm going to end with a killer verse from Colossians chapter 1. And it's going to lead me into tomorrow's show when I tell you how Paul lays the groundwork for the people in Corinth. I almost did it on Monday, remember? Almost did it. If anybody's nervous out there, you know, and the Corinthians were probably getting nervous when Paul's leaning on them in chapter 5, chapter 6. But again, they came through chapter 1. Sometimes we just isolate these passages, these chapters. Paul didn't write in chapters. He wrote one long letter. Sometimes we isolate them, right? And we forget that these people are reading it at one sitting. And so he's buttering them up big time in chapter 1. Going to get to that tomorrow. But I'm going to end today with a verse from Colossians that'll lead into that. But for now, 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 27. 1 Corinthians 9. Same letter to the Corinthians in chapter 6, right? You know what he's doing to them in chapter 6, chapter 5 and chapter 6, leaning on them pretty hard. 1 Corinthians 9, 24. Are you not aware that those racing in a stadium are indeed all racing, yet one is obtaining the prize? Thus be racing that you may be grasping it. Oh, Paul, everybody knows you're going to win the race. Why am I even entered in this race? Because that's God's calling for me. Paul says, yet one is obtaining the prize. Okay, yeah, that's going to be you. Nevertheless, Paul says, be racing that you may be grasping it. In another place, Paul talks about competing together in the faith. Run to win the prize. He's not talking about salvation. He's talking about the allotment. in the kingdom of God. The allotment of Christ, Christ's allotment. Verse 25, now every contender is controlling himself in all things. If you're a contender, you're controlling yourself in all things. Trying to. You don't have to, but you're trying to. Because you're contending. Not everybody trains for a marathon. I'm training for a 55-mile run in December, God willing. It's just a solo event. I made it up myself. I'm going to run from here to West Palm Beach, 55 miles. I'm training for it. Not everybody's training for a 55-mile run, so I'm doing crazy stuff that you're not doing. I'm controlling myself in some areas of life that you're not controlling yourself in. And you don't have to. Why? Because you're not training for a 55-mile run. But every contender, I'm a contender. And if you're not a contender, God will reveal that to you also. And if I'm a contender, I'm not going to look down on you who aren't a contender. I'm not. I'm to be mutually disposed to you, and we're to be observing the elements together. I'm going to stop talking about this at the end of the week, and then we'll be back to observing the elements, the beautiful general salvation. What must I be doing to be being saved? Yeah, I'll be back to criticizing Christianity, talking about, I do. What do I want to talk about? I want to talk about the 6-1 plan. I want to talk about God's 7,000-year plan. Oh, I got some great information from you from a most unlikely source. You got that to look forward to. But for now, I'm contending. Maybe you're not. That's okay. It's not your calling. Every contender is controlling himself in all things. They indeed then, that they may be obtaining a corruptible wreath, that is, those who are contending in literal races on this earth. If I finish that 55 miles I plan on doing, it'll be a corruptible wreath. I'm not getting a literal wreath, it'll just be the satisfaction of knowing that I did something. Not many people do. Yet we, an incorruptible wreath, store up for yourself treasure in heaven, where moth doesn't eat, rust doesn't destroy, worms don't chew it to bits, elephants don't step on it, smash it to smithereens. There's the elephant again. Incorruption. Now then, this is Paul. Thus am I racing. He's racing for God's sake. Back to Philippians 3. Not as dubious. Thus am I boxing, but not as punching the air. I'm belaboring my body. That word belaboring, by the way, hupopiazo. Wonderful Greek word. It means to strike the body under the eye. Under the eye. Paul is keeping his eye single to Christ, and that's how his body is coming into conformity to Christ. We know that you don't bring your body into conformity to Christ by subjugating yourself to decrees. You don't do it by acts of asceticism. I wish Concordant had translated that I am striking my body beneath the eye and leading it into slavery. This is crazy talk. Listen to this. I'm leading my body into slavery lest somehow, when heralding to others, I myself may become disqualified. Paul become disqualified? For what? Salvation? Hell no. For ruling and reigning. Even this guy isn't going around thinking, I got it in the bag. I got it in the bag. But he's not worried about it either. Why? Because this is the same guy that wrote in Philippians 4:6, don't worry about anything. He's not worried about it. The guy's cuckoo, and he's enjoying it. See, I'm actually enjoying the prospect of running 55 miles. I'm cuckoo. I enjoy going out, being bathed in sweat in 98-degree heat index. That would be 83-degree temperature with 80% humidity. I enjoy it. I'm a little cuckoo. So, and I'm doing crazy things, you might say. I'm doing things that are out there in this work. See, that's for a corruptible wreath. This work is for an incorruptible wreath. I'm after that. Oh, man, I want an incorruptible wreath. I already know I'm saved. I can't do anything to screw that up. But I'm in a race. I'm contending. I'm going for it. So I could be doing crazy stuff down here in Fort Lauderdale, but I'm not. I'm trying to walk circumspectly. I smoke cigarettes, yes. But see, Paul doesn't say neither idolaters nor adulterers nor cigarette smokers, so I'm good. Nor people who look at porn, so I'm good. He doesn't say any of that stuff. See, you have to look at what he says. You can't just say, wow, that means I can't do anything. I can't overeat. I can't eat a donut. I had a donut this morning on my run. A donut. At the 2 mile mark of my 8 mile run, I stopped. 2 miles. Went to the Speedway station. Got a glazed donut, a Snickers bar, and a bottle of apple juice. How are you contending? I only ate half the donut. Don't tell me I'm not contending. Only ate half the donut. Lest I myself become disqualified? Whew, this guy's hardcore. That might not be you. That's okay. 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy 2. You then, child of mine, be invigorated by the grace which is in Christ Jesus, and what things you hear from me through many witnesses, these commit to faithful men who shall be competent to teach others also. I get a little emotional about this passage. Suffer evil with me as an ideal soldier. Suffer evil, ideal soldier. And this is more than salvation. Suffer evil with me as an ideal soldier. We just found out. In another place, forget where it was, that suffering evil with Christ, you will gain the allotment of Christ. Wasn't that a great verse? Went from a general allotment to a specific allotment. Yeah, that was Romans 8:17. If children, enjoyers also have an allotment, enjoyers indeed of an allotment from God, yet join enjoyers of Christ's allotment, if so be that we are suffering together. There you go. Wasn't that a beautiful passage? Romans 8, verse 17. Going from a general allotment to a specific allotment. And part of that allotment involves suffering with Christ. That's why Paul is telling Timothy in chapter 2, suffer evil with me as an ideal soldier of Christ Jesus. No one who is warring is involved in the business of a livelihood, that he should be pleasing the one who enlists him. Now, if anyone should be competing in the games also, he is not given a wreath. If ever he should not be competing lawfully, not given a wreath. There you go again with his prize. The prize above. The prize above. Philippians 3. Competition and competing lawfully. You can't cheat. When I'm on my run, I don't cut corners. I do my route and I don't cheat. You see, that's just me. I'm a little cuckoo that way. But I like it. I like that. There's something about it that I like. I like the challenge. When I was on my bicycle, I learned how to enjoy hills. When I saw a big uphill, I began to cherish it, to revel it, because it meant, get this, it meant that I could rest. It meant that I could shift down my gear, take it easy, just get into this rhythm, just look down and just get inside my own thoughts, not try to kill it, not try to destroy the hill, but just work with it. And I learned to like it. I learned to enjoy the discipline of the Lord. Oh, wait a minute, I'm getting a little too far there. I never enjoyed the discipline of the Lord, but I learned to accept it because I know that it yields peaceable fruit. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. I got so many, I got so many different places where, 1 Corinthians 15, I got so many different places where Paul's making a distinction with people in the body of Christ. Within the body of Christ, there are distinctions. There are people who are wanting to suffer, who are going for it, and there's people who don't want anything to do with suffering. That's fine. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 40 and 42. There are bodies celestial as well as bodies terrestrial. I'm talking about the uncircumcision saints and then the circumcision saints. But a different glory indeed is that of the celestial, yet a different of the terrestrial. Peter's got his glory. His glory is of the terrestrial. That's a glory, but the glory of the celestial is a different glory. I think it's better. I know it's better, but that's okay. Peter's got his thing. That's what he wants. He doesn't want anything else. Another glory of the sun. See, this is within the celestials now, forgetting the terrestrial. Another glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for star is excelling star in glory. You have your blue giants. You have your dwarf stars. You have your Hollywood stars. Make a Wish Upon a Star. Star Search. All these different stars. They differ in glory. And then Paul says, thus also is the resurrection of the dead. So there are different glories in the resurrection of the dead. Everybody's going to be happy. Everybody's going to be filled. You have a bucket. It's full. It feels great. It's full. You have a thimble. It's full. It feels great. It's full. It's all relative. No matter what your allotment is, if it's a general one or a specific one, i.e. Romans 8, referencing Romans 8, 17 there, you're going to be fulfilled. And you're being shaped and formed. You're going through what you have to go through now to prepare you for it. And again, you're going to get more than you think. I know you out there. You're very hard on yourselves. You're going to get more than you think you're going to get. And you're going to lose less than you think you're going to lose. I know you suck. I know people tell me, I suck. Okay, you suck. But I'm telling you, you're never as good as you think you are on your best day. But you're never as bad as you think you are on your worst day. God remembers your pains. He remembers your tears. You've already forgotten a lot of them. He remembers them. You're going to get compensated. You're going to get requited. You're going to get recompensed for that. And there's some stuff that you probably don't even remember that you did that's not so great. But that's going to be gone. We're going to forfeit it. Oh, no. I have to forfeit my bad habit. I have to forfeit the bunion on my foot. Oh, jeez. I got to forfeit my bum leg. I got to forfeit my bum brain. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 12. Oh, man, I got so many passages. I'm in 1 Corinthians. Okay, this will be easy. Nothing's easy. 1 Corinthians 12. This is the body. I can go through this very briefly, but we know there's, even as the body is one, the body of Christ, and as many members, yet all the members of the one body, being many, are one body. Thus also is the Christ. There's many of us. But it's all in the Christ. General salvation. The allotment of salvation. The allotment of aeonian life. The allotment of incorruption. The allotment of glory. Was that one of them? If not, it should have been. Verse 13. For in one spirit also we are baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, all are made to imbibe of one spirit. And I would say this, whether those who are down on themselves, though those who think they suck, or those who are contending and running for the prize, they're all made to imbibe of one spirit. For the body also is not one member but many. Verse 15, if the foot should be saying, seeing that I'm not a hand, I'm not in the body, not for this is it not in the body. Just because you're a foot doesn't mean you're not in the body. Not for this. I'm a foot. I suck. All I do is touch the ground. Sometimes I step in dog poop. Sometimes I get a bunion. I'm stuck on bunions today. I don't know why, but does that mean it's not in the body? No, it's in the body, and it's needed in the body. Look at this. And if the ear should be saying, seeing that I am not an eye. So there's the ear. The ear is in a much more, I would say, glorious place than the foot, but the ear is envying the eye. What is this? If the ear should be saying, seeing that I am not an eye, I'm not of the body, not for this is it not in the body. Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where the scent? Yet now God placed the members, each one of them, in the body according as he wills. God wills to put you in the body exactly where you are. Now if it were all one member, where were the body? Yet now there are indeed many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. The head, the top, the feet, the bottom. The head better not be saying, I have no need of you. Christ is the head of the body. Yes, there are parts within the head. That's why Christ washed the feet of the disciples. Paul's teaching that here. Christ manifested this truth physically. Paul is explaining it spiritually. The eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you, or the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much rather, those members of the body supposed to be inherently weaker are necessary. Jesus washes the feet of the disciples. and which we supposed to be a more dishonored part of the body, these we are investing with more exceeding honor, and our indecent members have more exceeding respectability. This doesn't mean that they're going to get more rewards, more wreaths, more baubles, bangles, and beads than those contending in the gospel. It just means that we are giving them. These we are investing with more exceeding honor. We who are strong ought to be lifting up those who think they suck. Lifting them up. Giving them more honor than ourselves. Putting them in the front place. That's what we should be doing. Christ will sort out the rewards and the wreaths at the dais, but we are to give them more exceeding honor. Now, our respectable members have no need, but God blends the body together, giving to that which is deficient more exceeding honor, that there may be no schisms in the body, but the members may be mutually solicitous for one another. And finally, I'm getting to the verse I've been driving at, Colossians 1, verses 8 through 13. I thought I just had one verse here. Here we go. Colossians chapter 1, starting with verse 8. Nope. I'm starting at verse 9. Therefore, we also, from the day on which we hear, do not cease praying for you. This is my sentiment toward all of you. And requesting that you may be filled full with the realization of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You to walk worthily of the Lord, for all pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work, and growing in the realization of God, being endued with all power in accord with the might of His glory, for all endurance and patience with joy. This is not to be traumatic. This is not to cause anyone anxiety. With joy, keep your peace. Don't lose your peace. Don't be disposed above what your disposition must be. Don't be overweening, overthinking, overstraining, overstriving because you want somebody else's call or you want to be like somebody else. No, you're you, and you're needed, and you're necessary, and you're to be honored. Being endued with all power in accord with the might of His glory, for all endurance and patience with joy, at the same time giving thanks to the Father. If you suck, then you give thanks to the Father for that. And you live for another day. Tomorrow's another day. There is now, therefore, no condemnation in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. If Christ isn't condemning you, I sure as hell am not going to condemn you. And neither is any other member of the body of Christ. For all endurance and patience with joy, at the same time giving thanks to the Father, here it is, who makes you competent for a part of the allotment. There it is. For a part of the allotment of the saints in light. If you're straining for this allotment, God makes you competent. Any competency we have, and Paul admitted this several times, any competency he had was not of him. It was Christ operating in him. So good. Thanks to the Father who makes you competent for a part of the allotment of the saints in light. And if you are not destined to have that allotment, the high calling in Christ, then it's God who's not making you competent for it. He's making you competent in other things. But in this context, it's competent for the allotment of the saints in light. I'm not trying to get absolute on you here. Not trying to turn anybody into absolutists or fatalists. I'm just saying that if in any of this you're losing your peace or feeling anxious, then relax and don't worry about anything. any competency you do have or will have can only come from God.